It is time for Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library with Talking Books, and we're playing a little bit of Green Day because you need to wake up.
I do need to wake up.
Yes.
I took the afternoon off because it's that week when
who's
all the camps
running the
are
library?
Done. No, right. It's the week when all the camps and summer things are done and school starts next week.
Oh, right. So this
but
is that
lull week.
My husband
teaches at State, and so he can't be home, so...
Okay.
You just, there's no, my kids
you're there
are out
with
in
the
lobby.
I
they're
get
out
it.
There.
All right.
So I took the afternoon off.
That makes
we're
sense.
We're going to go buy school supplies and do this and get ready.
But.
And I just took a nap.
It's all about prioritizing. I
they
think
were
that's,
great.
Yeah,
they
no,
were like,
I have no
if
doubt.
If she takes a nap, we can get back on our screens and play video
yes,
games.
That's
so
perfect.
It was great.
Which is, it was a win-win for everyone, right?
Yes.
Except you still
and
have to buy school
supplies.
And
my older one is obsessed with Green Day. And Green Day has a new album coming out in October. That's all we talk about in our house right now.
Oh, I didn't actually know that.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes,
I love
very
Green Day.
Excited. I do too.
I have all of their songs.
But I'm awake now because
that's
I'm
good.
Here
that's good.
On the air. Stringing words together.
And we're talking about back to school today. Before we get to back to school today, since you're the third person who has mentioned this, can we talk about the elephant's butt in the room? I don't
if
know
by
who
we,
it is that
you,
did
yes,
this
we can,
a couple of days ago, but some guest, either on my show or probably one of Ron's guests in the morning, drew this awesome picture of an elephant from behind. So you're looking at its butt. And then underneath it, scribbled down the first half of the sentence from the Declaration of Independence. So when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary to dissolve the bonds, and then it just trails off into an elephant's butt.
Yeah, it's...
do not get it.
I didn't see the writing at first, and I was just like, is that a butt?
Your eyes are drawn to the butt first,
yeah,
I think, and then the Declaration of Independence
well,
after that.
Well, you can't quite figure out what it is at first. It's kind of like the... It makes me think of the... Little Prince, you know, like those
yes.
drawings. But
oh,
it's like,
yeah,
what is
yeah.
that? Oh,
what
wait,
is it?
That's
right.
what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We're
notice how I was tying it back into books there?
That's good, yeah.
Right?
The Little Prince movie is out now. It's
I have not seen that.
You can Netflix stream it, which is cool. It's on my queue to watch, but I haven't gotten around to it yet.
I
the
saw
book
Kubo
is amazing.
And the Two Strings last
oh,
night.
Oh, is that good?
It was cool.
One of my really good friends said that he loved it but fell asleep in the middle of it. So I'm not 100% sure what his frame of reference is, but
I
he was saying it was
in
amazing.
I fall asleep in movies all the time.
Yeah.
When I go to movies with my kids, it's basically a $10 nap in the air conditioning.
Yes, yeah, which is great.
And
right?
at Silver Spot with
yeah.
the Ottomans.
Oh, you
but
can lean
I stayed
back,
awake
yeah.
through the whole thing.
Yeah,
I thought
I've heard
Kubo
nothing but good things about
awesome.
This. Yeah,
super cool.
Super neat.
But we're
to see
not
this.
Here to talk about movies.
We're here to talk about
or
books.
Or elephant's butts.
Yes, we're here to talk about books.
Yes.
32,000 hours of reading?
32,000.
Woo!
That's the number, right? So 32,000. Our summer reading program is just wrapping up. All the logs were turned in this past weekend. And we usually say we expect people total to read about 20,000.
Right, that's
they
the
often
goal.
Break that, go yep, for like 22, yep. 24.
Yeah.
We usually have about 1,500 people participate for all ages. This year we had something like 3,300 people participate, and they read 32,000 hours.
That's awesome.
That's mind-blowing in the course of, like, 2.5 months.
That's amazing.
Right?
That's really cool.
And it's great because it engages people with the library. It talks about reading. Mm-hmm. And for us in this time of year going back to school, summer reading programs, they're fun. You know, you get tchotchkes and prizes and all of that. But for kids, they're really important because they bridge the gap from school year to school year. And there's research-based evidence that shows kids that read and participate in the summer reading programs start the next school year off at a much better place.
Yeah.
So it's fun, it's cool, and it's very purposeful.
Love it. 32,000 hours. I cannot.
Hours.
There's
go
how
Chapel
many
Hill.
Hours are there in the summer period?
That would be math
not
and
that
not
many.
Reading.
Oh, that's right. We're here to
I
talk about books.
Help you
right.
with that.
Right.
I will say, in the next couple of days on our Facebook and Twitter and various places, we're going to have some fun local celebrities commenting on that 32,000 hours.
Yeah.
So once we start sharing them, we'll ask you to reshare. I made my thank you
yes.
video or my wow video yesterday.
I got to see it, which was it was a lot
give,
of fun.
No
I'm not no spoilers. spoilers. No spoilers.
Daniel Wallace made one.
Ooh, nice. This I know Pam great. Hemminger made one because she was talking about it earlier.
Awesome.
Yes.
Great. We've got some more coming, so yeah. Stay tuned.
Apparently, I'm getting recruited to make one as soon as we're off the air, so we'll be doing that. Cool. So the tchotchkes are awesome, too, which is always nice.
The Frisbees were really popular. There aren't many Frisbees left.
I have no doubt.
Yeah.
I have a friend whose name is Joni. Joni loves tchotchkes.
You were waiting for that.
Bring the tchotchkes back up just for that. Cool.
And I will also put a plug in, speaking of this time of year, if you don't know it, if you're an artiste out there, outraged about censorship issues.
And if you're an artist, who doesn't?
Right, yeah. Right. We extended the deadline for our banned books trading cards art project. So you can read all about it on our website. The deadline is now, I believe, Monday the 29th.
Cool.
So it's a great project. We get lots of entries. It's super fun, and it's a great way to promote local art and raise awareness about issues surrounding the freedom to read.
And we'll be talking about that when the Banned Books Week happens. Is that September when that happens?
It's always the last week of September, first week of October.
The trading cards are always so cool.
They're really cool.
Yeah, I still have a couple sets left from last year, and
good.
They're just so awesome. All right, so let's talk books. We got back to school time is here. UNC back in session as of yesterday, officially. Chapel Hill Carborough back in session in 5 days on Monday.
But who's counting? Not
all
me.
like every single parent and teacher and child in Chapel Hill Carborough. For three very different reasons, I have no doubt.
Yes.
Yeah. So back to school books. What are our favorite back to school related books?
Well, I've got many.
I've got many as well.
Who's going first,
I'll
Aaron?
Go first.
Okay.
I think you've gone first the last like 12 times. So let me
I'm
go first this
the load.
Time.
You gotta...
First one, I was trying to work my way up from like elementary school school into college. I couldn't think of a college one, but I thought of a grad school one.
All of mine are college, I think.
Okay,
so
perfect.
This is great.
So you got it covered. I started with a couple of elementary school ones. One of the first ones that I thought of, and this is one of my favorite books of all time growing up, and it's just so my sense of humor and probably yours as well, The Sideways Stories from Wayside School by Louis Sacker, who I guess it's more famous now for writing Holes, but I still love them for Sideways Stories,
Stories, they hold up, man.
I have no doubt.
With our kids, and they're just so bizarre and so quirky and so fun and funny.
30 of them in that one book, and everyone deals with a different kid and the teacher, and
And then there's the follow-up. There's Sideways Math. Stories from Sideways from Wayside School. And I will say they did a little animated movie series.
That's right.
They were pretty good.
I thought
they kept the spirit of the kind of weirdness to them. Those are great books.
Yeah. So Wayside School is a school that's built sideways. It's 30 rooms. It's supposed to be one floor, but instead they build it sideways. Like a 30-story building with one classroom
side,
on each building, right? So on the 30th, is it on the 30th floor is where this classroom meets? Yep. And all of the students are weird and fun, and the teacher is weird and fun, and the athletics director, the gym teacher or whatever is weird and fun.
And they're all weird. Like, even the principal's weird.
Yeah.
The principal's in there somewhere, I think. Maybe he's in later ones.
And there's the substitute teacher, and it's great. If you don't know it, go find it. It's amazing. Sideways Stories from Wayside School.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to jump to a different one. I've got mine marked on my phone. Not all of mine are college. I'm going to jump to one of mine that is set in public school. The one that I'm going to talk about, it's the only nonfiction book that came to mind for me. It's a book called Educating Esme. It's the diary of a first-year teacher. So this is a nonfiction book. It's fairly short. It came out in like 98, 99. And she is a children's literature specialist, and she was a first-year teacher, and she wrote it as a diary. So if you ever want to, it's really easy, I think, sometimes to pass judgment or make some assumptions on teachers. If you want to look inside what a first-year teacher's life is like, this is a great book. She's a wonderful author. She went on to write a couple other books. She's got a great book called How to Get Your Child to Love Reading, which is a wonderful book with all kinds of resources for kids, both who love reading and don't. But Educating Esme, Diary of a First-Year Teacher is a really great look. She's very passionate about what she does. It's a short read that's all, and she's in inner city Chicago. So it's a different setting, but it's a great book.
out.
Very cool. That reminded me of Dangerous Minds, which is the Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah, the movie is called Dangerous Minds. The book is by Luann Johnson, and it's called Dangerous Minds now because the movie was so popular they just changed the title of the book. And I can't remember. I'm like trying to frantically look this up, what the original title of the book was. But that's another great book about first year teacher, inner city kids working with them, and just the experience of the teacher as well as the kids. And the movie's really good, but the book is amazing. If you get a chance.
I never read the book.
Yeah, I read the book before the movie even. Like, I read the book, and then a couple of years later, the movie came out, and I didn't even know they were making a movie out of it. The movie's great, but the book is definitely worth checking out by Luann Johnson, and it's called Dangerous Minds now. And if you're listening, you go to the bookstore or the library, and you find it. It's probably under Dangerous Minds, but it's a different title originally, and I can't remember what it was.
And they probably put Michelle Pfeiffer on the cover, for the movie tie-in.
Here's
the book
has Michelle Pfeiffer standing all like firm with her arms crossed.
I can see
the students behind her. Yeah, there it is. There's also Up the Down Staircase, which is Belle Johnson, I think, or something like that, from the 60s or the 50s or something like that. That
absolutely.
Was a really good one too. Okay, cool. So that's my next one. What are you? What's
that
your,
was your next one?
It is
you
now.
Just
kind of
slid that in there.
Okay, I got another
that's
one.
Not
from,
fair.
I got another one from elementary school. Okay. I was thinking sideways stories, and like I know there's another one that I really really loved when I was growing up, and I couldn't think of it, I looked it up. Miss Nelson is Missing.
Oh,
do you know that one? Oh,
yeah.
I love that one by Harry Allard. I never knew the author.
I remember one of my kids reading that one.
The Miss Nelson books are so good. So it's Miss Nelson, who's this like sweet elementary school teacher whose kids walk all over her, and then she decides to like one day she takes the day off, and the substitute teacher is this like hardcore authoritarian, like disciplinarian, who whips the students into shape in the matter of a day. And is it Miss Nelson in disguise, or is it an actual different? You don't know. It looks like Miss Nelson in disguise, but you don't know.
I love it.
Yeah.
I was pulling up the other one I was trying to think of. I knew the name of the books, but not the author. So what I love about kids' books is there's so many that are set in school, right?
Yeah,
and then they're funny and all of that. The one that made me think of that my younger one's currently into is the Lunch Lady series. They're little graphic novels for kids.
Yes.
And they're basically the lunch lady is the superhero, which one of my grandmothers was a lunch lady for a while. So it's, I'm connected
partial
there. They're super
the
funny.
Series.
But the lunch lady is the, character who's going to save the world from the, I forget if there's zombies or bad guys or the mafia, but she does it.
Have you seen or heard of the movie Cooties, which just came out? I know I'm getting back to movies, but
no,
it reminded me.
I used to play the game Cooties. I love that game.
Yeah,
the
there's a movie.
Little Cooties.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh yeah, no, I know that. The one that comes in like the tall box.
Yeah.
That's still available. There's this comedy horror movie that just came out where students
it's supposed to be terrible,
absolutely awful. Don't watch it. But Elijah Wood is in it as the star, and they got another couple of other decent celebrities in the movie, but it's all about the kids actually get actual cooties and they become zombies and start eating people, and it's up to the teachers to save the world.
Cooties.
I watched 20 minutes worth of
it. Don't watch it.
All right, but do read the Harry Potter books, because that's my other recommendation from the elementary middle school
talked about
area.
Me and Harry Potter?
I think so. I don't know what you're referring to now.
They're going to come and take my librarian card away. I've
read
a couple of them.
What? How?
I think I read the first three or four.
How do you? You read
How
the first
exist?
Four and
How
didn't?
How do I love? Maybe the first three. Maybe I read half of one. No, I read the first. I think it was the third one.
Okay.
And then I just didn't. And I mean, librarians love them, and I get it. And Harry Potter is awesome.
Yes. But
it's just not my thing.
Whoa.
Right. Right? People are just like, I'm not anti Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I'm not crazy Harry Potter.
That's me with the Hunger Games. I read the first Hunger Game books and I put it, the first books. I read the first Hunger Game book, singular, put it down. I was like, that was really good. And I'm done. I don't need to read the number two, number three. I saw the first two movies, and I didn't bother watching the third one. I looked it up online and got the plot of the rest of it, and I'm good. Harry Potter, I picked it up in a bookstore one day, and I was like, what is this Harry Potter thing? I'm 20-some years old. I'm sure this is just going to be this childish. I started reading it in the bookstore, and I was just hooked. I bought it that day.
That's great.
Bought the second one, bought the third one, and like was standing in line at midnight for books 4, 5, 6, and 7.
You were that guy.
I was that guy, yeah.
Yeah.
I am not standing in line. I have not read and don't really have a whole lot of interest in The Cursed Child. I'm one of those purists, like the seven books, that's canon. I'm done. I'll flip through. That's what Harry Potter is. It's Sorcerer's Stone up through Deathly Hallows, and that's it. Start to finish.
I have similar feelings about Star Wars.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the original trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
You're not a Force Awakens.
Force Awakens I loved.
Okay.
It's those other ones.
The prequels. Yeah. I like Revenge of the Sith. Revenge of the Sith was good.
Whoop.
What?
My phone just dinged. I'm sorry.
Revenge of the Sith. Your phone agrees
phone
with me
agree.
On Revenge of the Sith.
Okay. Books.
Yes.
Back to school. Because that's what we're talking about.
What's next?
So I'm going to bring up one of my favorite series. These were written in the 70s.
Okay.
I love books set on academic campuses and or at private schools. I don't know why. Anything that's set on a college campus or at a private school, I'm going to read it.
You know, Hogwarts is a private school.
Nice try. I didn't say I hate it, and I did read it.
Okay,
I just didn't read all of it.
That's true.
Read the first one.
All right.
So David Lodge is sort of one of the best known of the campus novel writers. And he was a British writer. He wrote in the 70s. There's a trio. The first one is Changing Places. The second one is Small World. And the third one is Nice Work. And these are set on a fictional college campus. The premise of the first one, Changing Places, is there's a professor at a British college, and there's a professor at, it's a satire of Berkeley. I need to bring up the name. So the one professor is located in Rummage, England, and the other one is at Plotinus University in the state of Euphoria. So it's supposed to be Berkeley.
Of course.
And they do a academic swap. And what happens is they both come in thinking they're very different people and their colleges are very different and they turn out to be very similar. It's a total satire of campus life, of academic life. There's some wacky hijinks with their marriages and all of this. And it starts in Changing Places and it goes through two more. And they are some of the most delightful satires. They sort of define the campus novel.
Okay.
David Lodge. You're a professor, married to a professor, thinking about being a professor, just like great satires, I would highly recommend those. They've been around forever.
Change places in the first book, and do they stay changed for books 2 and 3?
I'm not going to give it away. Because in the second book, the story continues. So they change places, and
Very cool. David Lodge.
Great books.
I'll
David
check
Lodge.
That one out. Okay, my last book. I'll skip over the high school book because I don't really like it that much anyway. The last book that I have is one that I think I've mentioned before, but you know, we're talking about like back to school for elementary school. You mentioned college, graduate school getting back in as well. So I got to give another shout out to 1L by Scott Turow. If you're going to law school and you want a primer on what that first year law experience is going to be like, Scott Turow wrote the definitive book on this in what, the 70s? This was like his first book.
It's been a while, yeah.
Was autobiographical. It's nonfiction before he became the legal thriller writer that we know and love today. He wrote this autobiographical story about his first year at Harvard Law School called 1L, which is totally worth checking out if you're thinking about law school, you're thinking about grad school in general, because that experience isn't quite the same, but you get some of the same details. Really worth checking out for that experience.
Much like the first book that I talked about, which is the first year at a public school. I love any book like that that takes you like behind the scenes of a profession like that.
Yep.
The last one that I'm going to recommend, I'm not sure if I've talked about it before. This is a newer book. I think it came out last year or the year before. It's called Dear Committee Members, and it's by an author named Julie, I think it's Schumacher, and it's a hoot. So the book is told, it's an epistolary novel, told in the form of letters and memos and all of that.
Yes.
From a cranky, grouchy professor of creative writing at Payne University. Get it?
Yeah.
I don't know why academia lends itself to satire, but there are many, many satires of the academic life. But the whole thing is a series of letters of recommendations for students, emails about tenure recommendations. It's a very short novel. It's told completely in the form of letters and emails. And again, if you are any way connected with academia, it is an absolute riot. Sometimes it's painful because these are fictional things.
Yes.
They hew a little close to the bone sometimes.
I have no doubt.
But it's very, very funny. And I will say we have a current list on our on the homepage of our website. We have a rotating list of features, and the current list is back to or on campus on the page on campus in fiction. I think that's a curated list of books set on college campuses.
Nice.
And the point of that is within our catalog, we have all kinds of lists. If you're ever stuck or you're looking for a book on a certain theme or looking for a good book for your fourth grader or looking for a fantasy novel with a strong female character, our catalog is full of lists created by our staff to
Very
help
cool.
you find a great book.
Awesome.
There
all
you
right,
go.
So check out the library's website for that. And Susan Brown, I got to let you go, but we'll talk to you again soon.
Okie doke.